intervene in every and all situations in our life. And so when we run to you, we know we're running to the true and living God. Thank you for that truth and that reality. And now, Father, I pray if there's someone here who's asking the basic questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? Is God knowable? Lord, I pray you would awaken faith in them to believe. I pray that you would just cause them, Father, to wake up to the reality of the gospel today, and their life will be changed forever. And Lord, if there's some folks here today whose personal lives are just in a mess, there's no way else to say it. Lord, I pray you begin to give them wisdom and understanding and guidance to move from where they are to where you want them to be. Father, help them take those steps and move in that direction. And now, Lord, as we look at your word, open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are Grace kids today? Grace kids, where are you? Just tell them we love them. Hunter and Holly got them again. Awesome. Hi, Holly. Man, that is a lot of kids. Amen. That's awesome. Everyone who doesn't celebrate our kids get to volunteer to help. You see, okay, now it changes. Everybody's, oh, I forgot to clap. That's awesome. That is great. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, at the beginning of 2019, I shared with you that because this is our fifth year, that when we started Grace, the fifth year would be a year of evaluation. And I haven't given you an update on that. And so I want to give you an update today. So let me first apologize if some of you came saying, hey, I just want to hear some preaching and go home. Please come next week. It will be more of a proper sermon next week, I promise. But I do owe it to our church that I made a commitment to give an update on sort of who we are, where we are, what we're doing, where we're going, and things. So everybody can just sort of relax a little bit. If you need to take a nap, we'll wake you up before lunch, and we will work through that. But when we started, Grace made a decision that at the five-year mark that we would do an evaluation. And the evaluation would be sort of a top-down organizational evaluation. We would evaluate everything we're doing, why we're doing, how we're doing, and is it making a difference at all? And so today, I have an update for you in most of those areas and some still to be announced, and we will get to that. So first, let's look at our polity or our structure, how we're structured as a church. Now, when we started Grace, all of us or most of us came out of congregationally ruled churches. Now, what is a congregationally ruled church? That's a church that if you go buy a box of pens, somebody's got to vote on it. You ever been there? Right? Okay, you buy a ream of paper, you got to vote. A box of pens, you got to vote. And usually you got to get like three bids and they got to compare, and it's like government, you know, RFP stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. In many congregational churches, that's sort of how you do it. You just have to do that. Well, there was only one problem with the congregational rule system. We couldn't find it in the Bible. Sorry. Now, I was raised a Baptist, full disclosure. I was raised Southern Baptist. I was raised in a congregational rural church. And if the congregation didn't vote on it, it wasn't of Jesus, right? But here was the problem when we started Grace. We read the Bible, and the Bible said every time that the congregation voted without leadership, guess what? They went astray. Read the Old Testament. The Old Testament, every time they voted, every time they did what's called mob rule, right? Every time they did it, they were wrong. Every time. And so I'm wrong enough on my own. Can I get an amen? Right? I don't need a system that helps me be wrong also. So as we read the Bible, here's what came to the surface. God has always led people by a person. He's always led people by people. He just always has. If you go anywhere in the Old Testament, he led people by a person. He just has always done that. That has been his system. That has been his model. That's what he's done. If you go to the New Testament, letters are written primarily to one person. Now, they include the elders. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's one person. If you run a business today, if you run a business today, stop being the leader, and everything you do, take a vote on it and see how far you get. Anybody with me on that? Not very far. And so as we looked at the scripture, we said, okay, it seems as though God calls people. He had apostles. Now, the apostles are dead. They're gone. But the apostles left a legacy, and their legacy are pastors, are under-shepherds, people who move in and lead the flock. And there's a spiritual gifting for that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And so as we looked at this, we said, you know what? You've got to have a leader. And so as we formed and structured Grace, we said we're going to be led by a pastor. It's not about me, because one day I'll dead or be gone. It's not about me. It's about the office. And somebody will step up and fill the office after me. And that person will occupy a biblical office where they're responsible to provide clear leadership and direction to the congregation. Nowhere in the world does any organization that makes any difference in the world operate based on mob rule. How many of you, if you could vote to fire your boss, would vote to fire your boss? Can I get an amen? Unless your boss is your husband, somebody I'm talking to. All right? And then, you know, you might want to take that vote. So, mob rule, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, it just never works. Having been a military person and having been in the Army and in the Air Force, I can tell you, when you have mission essential missions that come down the line, there's not time to see how everybody feels today. There's just not. There's simply not time, and it's not efficient, and frankly, it's not effective. And so as we sat down, Ryan and I and a few others sat down and sort of started thinking through this, we're like, why would God be ineffective? Why would he be inefficient? Why would he create a system in church that works nowhere else in the world because it violates every bit of just sort of common leadership sense? And the answer is, he wouldn't. That's just not how it works. And so we decided early on, 5 years ago, that we would be a pastor-led church. Again, pastors are not perfect. You're not looking for the perfect pastor. If you're looking for the perfect pastor, please don't join here because you will be disappointed. I am not perfect. The guy who comes after me will not be perfect. The person after them will not be perfect. If you need sinless perfection, we're not the place. Thank you for not saying amen to that. But you got to have a leader. And so churches have to have leaders. And so when we started Grace, we said we're going to be pastor-led. Now, as we read Scripture, we also understood that there are elders. We understand that God raises up godly men who need to circle around the pastor, and they are ordained by the church. We've ordained elders here. They're ordained by the church, and they come around the pastor for a couple of reasons. One, they keep me in line. So if I come in here and preach something crazy out of the Bible that's not there, they get to say, Pastor, what you preached is not in the Bible. We need to get this right. And so they provide accountability to me that I preach biblical stuff, right? If I go too far. And the second thing is they provide that I stay tracking with the Lord. In other words, we say it like this, that the pastor is qualified to be the pastor as long as they don't have unrepentant moral sin in their life. It doesn't say that they don't sin. Doesn't say they don't sin, you know, badly even. But it's got to be, but if it's repentant moral sin, that's different. In other words, do you as a leader stand up and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned, please forgive me. You turn from that, and then you seek to walk with the Lord in a better way. That's allowed here. That's allowed. Amen? I mean, our statement here is that they'll let me be a pastor, they'll let you be a member. Right? I mean, that's just sort of how that plays out, right? And so, but that works here. So the elders make sure that whoever the pastor is, it happens to be me right now, that there's not unrepentant moral sin. That if you sin, when you sin, you repent, you get up, and you move ahead, and you move in a better direction. So the elders provide that. The other thing the elders do is the elders set my salary. So what money I make or package I may or may not have, it's the elders who set that. I don't get to set my salary. I just can't come in Monday and say, hey, I think I'm getting a raise. Doesn't work like that here. All right. The elders provide that guideline, and they provide that structure for me. And so and then the elders also help in the general administration of the church. They help oversee different ministries, resolve conflict, and help implement the vision that God gives me. They help implement that vision out through the congregation. So that's the polity thing. And having looked at the polity and how we're structured, we believe that we are where God wants us to be. There's not going to be any changes in that. So we're continuing down that road. We've looked at it in our fifth year. We've evaluated that. We don't think the Bible's been rewritten in the last 5 years. So we're sure that's where we're going to be. So that's our polity and that's our structure. Now, I know some of you who are guests here today, maybe that's a little odd to you. Don't mean to be. But as we look at Scripture and as we understand Scripture, that seems to be what surfaces the most clearly to us. And so that's the system that we embrace. So polity is going to be the same. Also in this fifth year, not only did I question my involvement here, and I had to ask the question about my staying here. That was sort of a big personal thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But we looked at our atmosphere. What is our atmosphere? When somebody walks in here, what do they sense? Is it a good atmosphere? Is our worship where it needs to be? Is the preaching the right tone? Not do we change doctrine. We never change the doctrine. But are we preaching and communicating with the right spirit, with the right heart? Is that what we're doing? Do we have the right... When people come in, do they feel wanted and welcome, or do they feel alienated and isolated? So we looked at that, and we believe that we're hitting a pretty good atmosphere mark, that the music is right for us. Again, it's not for everybody. Some of you, I'm sure, have your choices. You wish it was this, you wish it was that, and I appreciate that, but we are where we are, and we think we're hitting a pretty good mark there. And so that's probably not going to change. We think the tone of the preaching, not always the quality, but the tone of the preaching, we think is right. It's biblical, always going to be. It's encouraging, always going to be. And it's systematic. It's we explain things. We don't yank things out of context and say, hey, look, let's do this. So we try to keep things within the context. So we believe that's right. I think we had a really good something happened back toward the beginning of the year. We had a person come in. Now, those of you who have never been drinkers, you're not going to get this. So those of you who've never drank a lot, you can push the pause button, all right? Take a nap. But those of us who have been down that road are going to understand what I'm about to say. We had a person come who had sort of drank themselves sober. They had started on a Saturday, started drinking, and they drank all day and drank all night and drank all morning and then showed up here. Any of you ever done that? You can admit that in church. How many people are lying because they don't want to admit that in church? Right? All right. All right. There you go. Right. Don't want to admit that in church. Absolutely. Well, this person had sort of drank themselves into a sober state, sort of sober state. And they showed up at church. And as some people were ministering to this person, they made a statement. They said, in essence, they said, I knew I could come to grace because it was safe. Because it was safe. And we got the person home safely. They didn't need to be driving. Got them taken care of. And I knew when they said that, this person said that, that we were hitting the right atmosphere. That when you can't go anywhere else, you can walk in our doors. When no one else wants you, you're welcome here. When everybody else has rejected you, you're accepted here. This is the place where you can come. And so here's what we know by that. That was sort of an aim 5 years ago. We weren't sure if we were going to hit it or not, but we have. But here's what we know conversely. There might be some here who don't like that atmosphere. They may think that to come to church, you need to be cleaned up, dressed up, and ready to go. And there are churches in our community filled with great people, led by great people, doing great things. That is their atmosphere, and that might be better for you. But for here, we want the people nobody else wants. My mentor was a guy named Bill Purvis in Columbus, Georgia, and he taught me this. He said, Terry, If you will love the people no one wants, God will give you the people that everyone wants. So we're just dedicated to loving the people that maybe aren't wanted or loved in other places. We're dedicated to loving them and seeing God do amazing things in their life and changing their life and radically transforming who they are. And so I think we're hitting our atmosphere pretty good. Next is a discipleship. That's to be announced. We're meeting with our discipleship folks next week to finish some planning. So after that, we'll get you that information. But that has been worked on, so that will be coming in the days ahead. Ministry development. Ryan and I met yesterday morning for a couple hours and worked on dividing our ministries up and sort of looking at the impact and what that looks like and how that plays out. You will be amazed. On our anniversary Sunday, we're going to have a list for you, divided up in some divisions so you sort of understand how we connect with different people. You are going to be amazed at the ministries, our church, what we do personally, internally, and who we partner with externally to do ministry. You're going to be amazed at how much that list has grown. It has just been phenomenal at what God has done. And you've done it. I haven't done it. You've done it. And so it's because of you that when you see that list, you're going to be amazed at the ministries that we're involved with. It's just really been staggering. And so that's going to be coming also. And now, I guess finally is the portion that I had to journey on myself. I made a commitment 5 years ago when we started Grace that at fifth year, I would ask the Lord what my involvement should be moving ahead. Because here's what I know, and you guys know this better than I do. You've seen leaders stay too long, and you've seen leaders leave too early. Right? I mean, you have. You've seen both. You've seen leaders stay well past their welcome, and I'd rather be wanted and missed than not wanted and thrown out. Can I get an amen? And so I just think it's real important that on a regular basis that all leaders look in themselves and look in the mirror and say, okay, am I still effective? Is this still for me? Because things change. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us there's a time and season for every purpose under heaven. Nothing lasts forever. Things change. That's just life. They do. And so when I was laying in the hospital almost five, the Lord was dealing with me on this because I'd been praying on it about what my future is and what do I do with the rest of my days. I'm 55, and nobody's promised tomorrow, and so I don't know how many more I have, maybe 20, 30, maybe one, I don't know. But I know that it forced me to look inside and ask some real questions about the impact of my life. And I pray that wherever you are in the journey, if you're 35 or 55 or 95, you will ask the same questions. What is the impact of your life? When they put you in a box and drop you in the ground, go back to the church, eat potato salad, and tell lies about you. I mean, what? All right? What will have been the impact of your life in the world? What are you leaving behind? A good job? They'll fill it. Oh, they can't replace me. Quit and see. How many of you know they'll have somebody in your seat before it gets cold? I mean, it's just true, man. I mean, it's sort of a drag. You'd think all the time you put in, you'd be more, you know, indispensable, but you're not. I'm not. I'm telling you, if I drop dead today, y'all have a pastor in a month. Absolutely. And you should. And you better. I get it. It's life. So I began thinking, okay, Lord, what is it for me? What's my next year, 5 years, or what you give me? How does that look? The Lord reminded me of 1 Corinthians 12, if I can read it to you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, now there are a variety of gifts, a lot of gifts, a lot of spiritual gifts. Actually, by one list, 30, by some another list, 100. Take your pick, right? I go with the 30 list, but some go with the 100 list. So about 30 for sure, minimum of that. There's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of services. That means ministries, how those gifts are lived out. You may have a gift of teaching, and it may live out by teaching Sunday school. It may live out by being a pastor. So you can have a gift. It's just lived out differently. So there's a variety of services, different ways that they serve. Then there's a variety but the same Lord. And there's a variety of activities. That word activity is the word energma, and it means a work or effect. In other words, it means the effect, the gifting, the impact you have. So you have gifts, you have the way you use them, and then you have the impact, right? And so I had to ask myself at 55, do I fully understand my gifting? Do I understand how God wants that lived out? And then the impact should follow, right? There should be some impact. I was thinking about that over the last few weeks, and I looked up Charles Stanley's age. And many of you know Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley's been preaching since Methuselah was a baby. All right? You know how old he is? 87 years old and still preaching. Is that awesome? And he's good. I mean, it's not like he's bad. I mean, he's good. And that's just really amazing. And I don't have that kind of impact, just in case anybody was curious. All right? That's not the effect I have on people. It's not that. So I had to ask myself at the 50-year mark, because I owe it to you as the church. I told you I would do it. I promised the elders I would do it. So I had to look in the mirror and say, okay, am I still fit? Am I still called? Do I still have an effect here at Grace? The elders agreed, and we've talked to them individually. They agreed and I agree with them, that my time at Grace is not over yet. So, yeah, thank you, right? My time here isn't over, but God has changed some things. God has changed some things. I read a book a few years ago called Revolution by George Barna. And now Barna's a pollster, and he's sort of a nerd. And most of you wouldn't like the book. It's a bunch of numbers and charts and graphs and stuff. And so, but Barna says in his book Revolution that by the year 2025, two-thirds of evangelicals, that's me and you, people who claim a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, people who believe the Bible, people who believe Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, that's me and you. Two-thirds of people like me and you will not be connected to a local church. They will become worship gypsies. That's a phrase he coined. They'll meet in small groups in their home, or they will isolate themselves and connect through social media. As a pastor, that is not healthy. It might be a trend, but it is not healthy. It is not healthy to isolate yourself and to insulate yourself. It's not healthy to be able to pick and choose what you listen to, because you inevitably will pick and choose stuff you like, not stuff you need. And so there's a number of reasons why it isn't necessarily healthy to walk this thing alone. It just isn't. So as that's been in my mind now for 3 or 4 years, and I came to this point where I'm sort of looking at, okay, I'm 55, what do I do from this point on? God birthed through a series of processes a ministry. And it's based on my gifting. So let me share with you the best I understand out of 30 years of ministry what my gifts are. They're not many. I mean, if you take the list of 30 or take the list of 100, it's a little bitty portion. But here's what I believe the Spirit of God has gifted me to do. One is exhortation. What does that mean? That means I encourage people and I comfort people. Part of the drive of my life is when I meet you is for you to leave better than when you met me. That's on my mind. I want to encourage you. If life strips courage out of you, I want to build courage in you. That's part of my gifting. I'm an encourager, so that's part of what I do. Also, is gift of knowledge. I have the ability to learn and understand things. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, the brightest bulb burning, or sharpest tool in the shed, whatever you want to say, but I do have some ability at assimilating information and then putting it out there. So I have some ability of knowledge. Leadership. Again, I'm not, You know, I'm not probably the most gifted leader on the planet, but leadership basically means you could take a group of people based on God's word and God's principles and move them from where they are to where they need to be as a group. And I do have that gifting. Again, I'm probably not going to write a book on it, but that gifting does exist. John Maxwell said you can tell if you're a leader or not. You know how? Turn around and see if anyone's following. If no one's following, you're not a leader, right? So I think I have that gift at some level. I have the gift of pastoring or shepherding. That means I'm responsible for the spiritual care, protecting and guiding and feeding of a group of believers. There's nothing I love more than being with you on Sunday and sharing God's word with you. I have a calling to pastor. And with that comes a great love for people. I love you. If no one else has told you today they love you, let me be the first. I love you. If no one else told you today they believe in you, I believe in you. And I'm not just saying that to say it. I say it because I mean it. And those of you who know me know it's true. I love you and I believe in you and you can do great things. And I believe part of my gifting is to pastor. Also to teach. I have a way to logically and systematically understand scripture and get it out there. Well, that's it. Out of a list of 30 or 100, I'm done. So because of that, what is God calling me to do? About 2.5 years ago, there were a couple of people that got involved in my life to start some radio spots. One guy was a guy named Skeet Alford. Some of you know Skeet. Skeet bugged me for years to do it, and then finally I did it so he would hush. Just kidding. But Skeet sort of got on me about it, and then Robinson at our radio station got on me about it. And so God led me to start doing these radio spots. Some of you have heard them, called Grace for Your Journey. We're on 5 stations now, 3 local and 2 in southern Ohio. And so, yeah, amen. And so the ministry, Grace for Your Journey, started with radio spots. That's how it started. And that's pretty much all it was. So we sort of are peddling our wares, trying to get more stations on board. We have over 2 years of information stored. We give this stuff away. We don't charge for it. So if a radio station's willing to play it, we give it to them. And so that's how it works. Robin and her team at Hope FM have been so gracious to produce all of my stuff. And sometimes that is a challenge, right? Because they have to make you sound like you know what you're doing. And so sometimes that's a lot of splicing. Aren't you thankful for digital splicing, those of you in the business, right? I mean, so, you know, putting things together. And so Robin and them have been a great help to me, her and her team at the radio station. And so that's sort of been step one, and that's been something that God has blessed. But there's a step two that's developed, and I won't go into all the details on how it happened, but through the process of dealing with some folks and reconnecting with old friendships, some folks reminded me of my gifting, of what I do, what God's called me to do. And that, coupled with Barna's statistics of people disconnecting from one another, it stirred a vision and a passion in my heart to be involved with something that, well, maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. But we're calling them Grace for Your Journey gatherings. And there are going to be regional Bible study gatherings where it will focus on the teaching of God's word, but also the developing of a family. It is not a church. We're not going to have the structure of a church. It is a very loose connection of people who have already disconnected from the church, but need to be in fellowship with one another. We have 3 cities already targeted. Southern Ohio, that date will probably be set this week. We're looking at 8 possible dates. And so the people who are hosting it are going to pick a date this week. The second community we'll be going to is Raleigh, North Carolina. We already have a place for that. We're working on that date as well. And then the third place will be Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so Tulsa will be, that date will be in the spring for sure. The Raleigh date might be in the fall. But the Tulsa date will certainly be in the spring. And so we'll be going to those areas. We'll be gathering people who have disconnected from church, or maybe people who just want another Bible study in their life. And we'll be coming together, building these regional Grace for Your Journey communities. Now, here's what will happen. They'll be encouraged, if they're not in church, which most of them won't be, to log in Facebook Live every Sunday here. So they'll be a part of our fellowship and our church via Facebook Live, wherever they may live. And then once a quarter or twice a year, I'll make a visit to their community, and we'll have a gathering. And we'll teach, we'll have some music, and we'll have a time of gathering together. And so that is in the works. That will happen, at least one, if not two of those, before Christmas. And so that's coming through this ministry. Now, the third thing that the Lord put in my heart and my mind 9 years ago, but based on my journey, but is really coming to fruition now, and that is to have a retreat, an escape hatch for pastors. When pastors' back are against the wall, when their lives are spiraling apart, when their family's in trouble, when they're in personal trouble, internally, spiritually, whatever, a place for them to retreat to. Well, they'll get some counseling, some biblical guidance, and well, they will have a time to just get away, to just get away. We're looking. I'll start probably that fundraising probably next year on this, because just by process of flow, we've still got other things working on. We'll be looking for a place, preferably on the beach, because we want to give them someplace nice to come to. The goal is for them to come, and it will cost them no money. If they can't afford to get here, we send them money to get here. If they can't afford food, we feed them while they're here. And you're saying, oh, certainly, pastors, you know, they'll be able to afford food. When pastors get in these kind of situations, they sometimes can't afford to keep their lights on. I've been there. I was that guy. And 9 years ago, God put it in my heart and my mind that if we could just have a place, safe place with safe people that will love you no matter what you've done or what you haven't done. We will just love you. I just think there's great healing in that kind of environment. And so as we look at Grace for Your Journey, the ministry God's called me to start, not leaving here, still going to be your pastor, still going to preach, still going to be here, but as God's called me to a personal ministry, that's what it looks like. So how can you help? Here's how you can help. Next week in your program, there's going to be a chance for you to check off how you will help. The little card that you have that you give us your prayer requests on, thank you for your prayer requests, by the way. I enjoy praying for you every week. Keep sending them, because I love praying for you. But on the back right here, it'll have ways you can help. The first way you can help is this, and it's the most important first, to pray. I really mean to pray. I mean, I don't mean driving down the road, oh, yeah, hey, Lord, be with Terry on that thing. Got it, boom. I mean, we need you to pray. Like, put it someplace so you see it. I'm going to pray for Grace for Your Journey. I'm going to pray for this part of the ministry. We're going to pray that, man, we're able to make this impact. If God calls you. Now, for some of you, God's not going to call you to that. And I get that, and that's cool. But for some of you, he will. And so we really need you to pray. And you'll get a chance to sign up for that next week. And we'll your name and your email, because we're going to send you prayer requests. Okay? Second is to promote. Some of us in here, and I won't name who, we're not going to go through a name, are old enough to remember and understand what's called interruption marketing. I have a minor in business, so I'm a nerd on that a little bit too, but it's called interruption marketing. Can I tell you what interruption marketing is? A commercial. A commercial is called interruption marketing. A big one-page advertisement in a magazine. You're reading your article, and then you've got like six, you know what I'm talking about? You got like six pages of advertisements. That's called interruption marketing. And that was the style of marketing used forever. Interruption marketing is over. There's a new type of marketing in advancement called permission marketing. A guy named Seth Godin sort of started this. And permission marketing is that because of your network, your social connections, you allow certain information to come into your life. Now, that's a lot better, isn't it? How many of you wish you could just delete all the commercials? Right? I mean, they get in the way, right? But then you have permission marketing. That comes through the social marketing system. That's Facebook, Twitter, all this kind of stuff. Some of you will get, God will call you, and you'll step up and say, you know what, Terry? I can pray, but you know, I can really get involved in permission marketing. I can really get involved in the promotion. So I'm going to like your Facebook page. I'm going to push things. Man, send stuff out, and I'll share it with all my friends. And I will be involved in spreading the word about Grace for Your Journey. So you'll be involved in the promotion side. It's free. It's cheap. It's easy. It just takes some time and some people who are interested. The third way is to give. If the giving gets to a certain level, I will be able to quit my day job, and I'll be able to do this full time. And that will be a great thing. If not, I keep working my day job because I'm cool with that, right? Because I will never be a burden on you. It is not my mission to be a burden on you. But if God calls you to give and to support, then that could be a potential outcome. And there's some other things we need. We're going to need some web help, and we're going to need some promotional help. I'm going to a conference in a couple weeks. That costs money. And so there are some financial needs. And so next week, you get a chance to check a box. I'm not preaching on it next week. You've heard the spiel today. So, you know, next week, it'll be normal Sunday. I'll be preaching. You've gotten your update that I promised you. And then on our anniversary, we'll give you the update on the ministries and the discipleship. We'll do that there. And so you get to pray on how you want to connect and help. I hope all of you will pray. I mean, we're friends, right? We're friends? All right, okay. Checking. All right. You know, if I just hacked everybody off, right? You do not get Christmas cards, Terry, so there you go. Certainly you could pray. Those of you who are computer savvy and spend time on the net, you understand what I'm saying about social media and promotion. You get it. You understand that. That is today. It's not tomorrow. It's today. And that's how things can spread, right? And then some of you, God will call to help financially who can. Do not, please hear me, do not give your tithe. Your tithe goes to the church. It goes, Scripture's clear, your tithe is for the storehouse. It's not for me. Your tithe is for the storehouse. Do not give that to me. Well, I'm just going to divide it. Do not divide it. If you can't afford to give an offering over and above, then the giving plan is not for you. And so the tithe goes to the church. It does not go from me. I promised Judy I would say it 12 times, right? She's our financial secretary. Do not give your tithe or any portion of it to me. That goes to the church. But if God calls you to give over and above, we will certainly be thankful for that. Well, I've talked a long time, and you've been so kind to listen. I wanted to give you an update on where we are in 5 years. I can tell you that the impact of the ministries you'll hear about on our anniversary Sunday coming up, you're going to be thrilled about the people who have come to know Christ, the people who've been baptized, the people we've helped, the people who have struggled in life that we've been able to serve. You are going to be thrilled to hear what you've done it. The people do. You always are the ministers, and so you're going to be thrilled to hear about what you've done in impacting people. And so I want to encourage you. Next week, back to normal. Those of you who are guests and visiting, sorry you had to sit through this today. I pray something blessed you and encouraged you. But next week, obviously, we'll be just back in the Word, and we'll be walking through this. But we don't want Grace to be an event. I don't know. I don't want to be an event. That's sort of like, I don't know. Too many times church becomes events. I don't want church to be an event. I want us to be a family with a mission and a focus, a team with some objectives. Every one of you have gifts from the Lord. Every one of you have gifts from the Lord that God wants you to use. Just like me. I mean, God may not call you to do what I'm doing, but he's going to call you to do something equally as great and impactful. Here's what I know. God's gifted you to do something great. And God gifted Florida with the gift of turnovers. I had to take 5 antacid last night toward the end of that game. I'm telling you, I was eating Tums by the end of that game. I'm just telling you, it was rough. I also need your prayers. My son, Parker informed us that it's his intentions to go to Santa Fe for 2 years and then go to the University of Florida. I told them, no money from me. No. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Y'all know how that works out. You know, where your kids go, you love them, right? So that's just how that works. So you might even see me in a Florida shirt one day. You never know, right? Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. God wants you to have an amazing rest of your life. But you don't get to do it by sitting on the bench. You have to get in the game. You have to know your gifting. You have to know your calling. You have to care about the kingdom of God more than the kingdom of man. You just have to. Eternity is more important than modernity. It just is every single day. God loves you. And he wants to do amazing things through you. You just have to care enough to let him. And when you do, you'll never look back. It is an amazing journey. I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor and your friend. And I'm excited about the days ahead as God continues to grow grace and give us the opportunity to impact lives. Not just here, now around the country for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Stand with me if you will. Amen. Stand with me if you will. As you're standing, just a few things we're going to give as we exit today. I've kept you too long. So, guys, we will give as we exit. We have boxes at all the doors. Please, if you came prepared to give, do that. And all of you should have come prepared to tell us how to pray for you. So all you have to do is fill this out. Drop it in one of the boxes, and we will pray for you. Please, please take time to do that. We want to pray for you. So let us know how we can do that, and we'll be glad to do that. Just a couple things very quickly. Don't forget, on the 8th is our celebration. Bring something to pass around. If you don't mind taking a minute and just tell us what you're going to bring and how many, just so we can get a feel for our food. We're buying all the meat. We're buying all the drinks. We're expecting about 300 people. So it's going to be a big crowd, so we're just wanting to make sure we're good. If you could just write a little something there so we can sort of get a gauge on things, that'll be great. Please do that if you don't mind. And is there anything pressing that I'm forgetting? Ryan, anything pressing? Nope, we're good? All right. Very good. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll see you next week. Thank you for enduring an update today and all this administrative stuff. Thank you for your kindness and your grace. Next week, we'll be back on track. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for your kindness and thank you for allowing us to be together as your family. And Lord, use us to make a difference and an impact in the lives of others. Lord, may we spend our days investing in eternity. Because, Lord, the best I can reckon, that matters most. So, Father, use us this week for your glory. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. These are sheep of your fold. You love them, each and every one of them, with an unbelievable love. I pray that you would bless them and keep them and be with them. Father, I pray all peace and your grace will be upon them. Lord, I pray that they will have the greatest week they've ever had. Now, Father, use us again this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See you next week. Bring somebody with you.
Come on, if you love Jesus, why don't you make some noise one more time? Come on.